Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hello to all the ships at sea. Welcome, welcome back. Good to see you all. So I do have one thing I wanted to share with you. Let me share with this really quick. I have a friend of mine in Vancouver, British Columbia, who is a Canucks super fan. And as part of his super fandom, ended up on television and turned into a meme. And I thought it was a meme that made sense for us. And so my friend is immortalized over and over and over again, all over the internet, giving a thumbs up like we are going to be doing this evening. Awesome. So I don't have a huge agenda for this evening. I just wanted to give you guys a chance to go out and play, give this stuff a try, see how it's going. Is everybody able to hear me? I've been having some technical issues today. Awesome. Great. Cool. So if you've got some questions, feel free to unmute yourself. Let me know how I can be helpful. Share what your experience is. What'd you try? What worked? What didn't? Feel free to go right ahead.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Jane. I'm Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Here calling from Australia. I've been practicing muscle. I only started muscle testing the first session with Jane, so I'm very new to this. And yeah, I've just been starting with very basic questions. Yeah, I don't trust myself enough to ask more questions, but I want to practice asking better questions.
Yeah. So one thing as you step into that and you're learning to trust yourself more, the thing that's really important is ask questions, get information, and then do all of the other investigation that you would normally do. And then after the fact, you go, oh, what did the muscle testing say when I tried this particular thing? Because again, we're just using this as one more data point, and I can take it as a data point that I'm not even necessarily responding to begin with. And so that might give you a little more space to ask more questions, ask more comprehensive questions, and just to give yourself the ability to practice in that particular way. And so you can, like, if you're working with someone, just take some notes on. And one of the things I found early on when I was doing exactly that, when I was practicing, where I was trying to reinforce what was going on, so I wasn't in a situation where I was like scribbling frantic notes. And when I scribble frantic notes, my handwriting is atrocious. My spelling is even worse. I look back at it and it's just gobbledygook, and it didn't matter that I was writing anything down at all. So what I did was I took some of those questions and I pre-wrote them out or printed them out. So then if I was working in a setting where I wanted to try it, I could do some trying in it. I could just give a why and in, a why and in, and still be present to what is going on. And then after the fact, coming back, going, okay, this is what I tested at the beginning. This is what is going on. How well did I do? What can I learn from that? You know, and then you go, oh, well, that's a yes, but I didn't ask a clear enough question. And maybe if I ask the question a little differently based on what I'm doing, and just kind of create a feedback loop in that particular way. So you're doing it without any stakes. Because yeah, when we're trying to make decisions, it gets scary. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to add to that, just as an example, what you're saying about bringing in the other evidence too. I was testing myself because I've been recently taking CBD oil and I muscle tested the dosage. And so I can actually see the effects of that dosage on myself, like whether it's accurate or whether it's too much. Yeah.
Yeah. So just play and see what's going on. I like that. Awesome. Cool. Other thoughts, other reflections, other questions? What was your experience this week? Audrey's.
Yes. I knew about two of the muscle testing because the arm one, my environmental doctor does, and it's so right on. The other one, the pendulum, I've used that because I balance people's meridians in the energy work that I do, and that is so accurate. I love it. The one that you have is totally new, so I've been practicing. It gives me something different to do. So I'm enjoying that. Yeah, I guess that's all the questions we can ask, right?
Oh, well, if we got some time, feel free to ask a question about this. And if we have time, we'll loop around to questions about anything else.
Okay, well, then I'll save it for then.
Okay, great. Awesome.
I'm enjoying it. I noticed that my hand goes opposite to yours, which is strange. You know, you had the twist to the wrist. Mine went this way.
Great. And again, like, I mean, this is something that is manufactured. You know, it's not as if this is the way we normally are. It's just an opportunity. And the with all things, tapping and otherwise, the single most important question is, how is it working for you? And of doing it a way that is opposite for me, if that works for you, great. Go with that particular thing. Do the thing that works for you.
I'm experimenting with it, so we'll see.
Yeah, play around. Awesome.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Yeah. Other thoughts, other reflections, things you learned, specific questions, things you bumped into that felt a little woolly or overwhelming or interesting? Yeah, Megan.
I use muscle testing. I can do it inside myself now, but I use it like a rough or smooth on your nail instead of pressing yes. on it. I do a rough or smooth. So a smooth is yes and a rough is no. I found it hard with clients until I've got it down pat to actually use it with them. I'm so busy trying to think of the questions for them and things like that, that adding muscle testing in silently, I'd need to practice it, I think, with someone as a practice rather than a paying right. client for now. I do have questions for the yes, yes, no.
Yeah.
So when I tried to do that, I think I got three yeses. Like, is the first question we ask, can I do muscle testing on chocolate? Is that the sort of thing?
No, it's just I'm tuning into chocolate. And is there something that is resonant? Is there not? Yes, is it's good. No, it is not.
Yes, it is good. Is chocolate's good? Or yes, I should do some tap, you know, do the focusing.
Yes. Okay. So if there is no substance sensitivity, we will get yes, yes, no. If we get anything in any of those three questions that is the opposite of that, then we assume there needs to be some tapping. So if I go chocolate and I get a no, then absolutely I know I need to do some tapping. And I don't even need to ask the second and the third question because I already recognize the fact that something is going on in this particular case. And so if I go chocolate and I get a yes, and I go chocolate, I want to be healthy, I get a no, I don't have to ask the third question because, again, I've gotten something to inverse to what our pattern is. And though if I get yes, 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 then I'm going again that by that third question, we're going against our pattern. So it means it's something that I need to tap on. So it's chocolate, chocolate, I want to be healthy, chocolate, I want to be sick. And obviously, chocolate, I want to be sick. Well, I don't actually want to be sick unless there's a part of me that goes, if I'm sick of chocolate, then I won't eat chocolate very much. So I want chocolate to make me sick. And so that would be a subconscious reason why the body wants me to say chocolate is going to make me sick is because it doesn't want me to be eating chocolate. So it's going, oh, gross, 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 as a way of protecting me when these are not protecting me.
Yeah, okay. All right, I think that that's the only question I've got for now. There might be something else after.
Awesome, great, very good. Other questions about the muscle testing and some of the stuff that we talked about last week? Yeah, Haley.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, do you have any ideas, sort of what's a good age to be able, or like what's the youngest that you can kind of teach people muscle testing? I'm trying to teach my 6-year-old son and he's just like, this doesn't work.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question because it takes a really specific, like, it's one of those, it's going to depend, like, you know, we all develop in slightly different ways at slightly different ages. More than likely, because he is a little boy, his emotional intelligence is going to develop a little bit slower just because of the biochemistry of his brain and how all of that is going on. And so, like, as I think of my nieces and my nephews, my 9-year-old niece could handle this, but she's a fierce little creature that is just like this sparkling little spiritual being that isn't like the rest of us. So Milan might not be a good baseline for me to think about that particular thing, but like I'm guessing, if I were to guess, I'm guessing it's like a pretty sharp and mature 9-year-old, or it's like, as I think about this, fifth or sixth grade would have been something where I would have felt like I would have been comfortable and competent doing this if someone was giving me those instructions. So six is probably a little early for a sophisticated tool like this.
Yeah.
yeah. So the thing I would encourage you to do is six, though, to like seed the groundwork for all of this stuff, is make sure that you're equipping with really good emotional vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And talking about what is going on. And my favorite way to do that with kids who are that age is at the end of the day, the four questions: what was the best part about today? What was the worst part about today? What are you worried about tomorrow? What are you excited for tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing is you're teaching them to talk about their daily experience and why it was good or bad for them in a subjective way, because that's what our emotions are. They are our subjective understanding of what our experience is, so that it's easier and easier to do it when in a moment of distress. If at the end of the day, when I'm reviewing the day, it's also like a really awesome little tapping routine at the end of the day to just like downregulate those emotions so that they sleep in a better way, because you're knocking out the bad thing of today and the bad thing of tomorrow. Sometimes when doing this, I know a lot of parents who like to have the kids ask them the questions as well. Obviously, when we're talking to a six-year-old, we are not talking about the fact that the house is going to be taken away from us and we're going into like we couch the things that we are describing, but we share them honestly. I even have one set of children, parents, when they do this with their kids, they actually tap on each other while they're telling the story to each other. So the child is tapping on the parent and the parent is tapping on the child, and they take turns who goes first. And again, it's just a way of creating communication and creating emotional vocabulary and emotional maturity, so that when you get into these subtler concepts, they're used to tuning into their body. They're used to listening, because like the way that we look, like our emotions are the front line of our intuition. And it's the one that most of us most obviously understand, because they're so sharp and they're in front of us. And so if you just start getting him talking in that way, he's going to be tuning into his body. He's going to be noticing what's going on, so that when we get to a subtle muscle movement like this, then it becomes something that it's going to be, there's like going to be some foundation laid for that particular thing, because he's going to be used to tuning into his body and seeing what his body feels like and stuff like that. Like we do, at least in the Western world, we do a pretty good job of talking about physical stuff, because we go and like tell the doctor, tell the nurse where it hurts. So we're used to talking about physical pain in the body. And that's one of the reasons why I use the physical sensations oftentimes to entry point, because most of us have a better somatic literacy than we do an emotional literacy. And so as an entry point, so that's what I would play around with. You know, the other thing is like 6-year-olds have one of two responses to things that are weird. They go, "Ooh, that's weird," or "Ooh, that's weird." Like they're either leaning in or they're leaning out for something like that. And it could be the day of the week that determines whether or not they lean in or out. 4 days from now, you could ask him the exact same thing and he might think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm trying to convince him that these are my things. I'm trying to convince him where I'm magic. And he's like, "This doesn't work. You're not magic." I'm like, I am. Let me show you.
Right. We got magic buttons. Let's go after all of these things. So yeah, I mean, and the other thing is like with that is like, you know, the more times we do something for all of us, the more like it is possible, like tapping on something that is emotional with a child, they might not really know how to describe the difference between state A and state B. But if they experience state A and state B multiple times and they start to feel themselves shifting from one to the other, and as they notice the shift, they notice, "Oh, I don't like that. Ooh, I do like that." Or, "Oh, I don't like that. Ooh, this feels more comfortable." Then with that particular type of response over time, again, we're just slowly giving them the opportunity to lean into it. The other thing is that, you know, a prophet is never accepted in their homeland. 6-year-old boys are going to roll their eyes at their parents because that's what 6-year-old boys do. I don't know if he's gotten to eye rolling age yet, but rolling our eyes actually serves a very specific purpose. It is us breaking rapport with another human. And so like when you say something that is frustrating or I can't believe you said that, it's like, oh my gosh, like they're fit. Like it's this physical, I am out of rapport. There is some theorizing that that's the reason why animals growl. Because if you see three dogs sleeping next to each other at a certain point, regardless of their size, they will start respirating together in sync. And so if I'm, you can't match my breathing. And so it is a way of me demonstrating I am breaking rapport with you when I'm doing that particular thing. So when he starts rolling his eyes, it's not because he doesn't like you. It's because he's like, oh, I can't be associated with this, which, you know, is what little boys do with their mom.
Yeah. He does the growl at me too.
There you go. Exact same thing.
Cool. Thank you.
You bet. Other muscle testing related questions, and we'll just open it up for free for all where I can answer anything you got.
Yes. Question again. Yeah. Do you have to tap on every piece of food? I mean, you know, muscle test every piece of food that you put in your mouth.
So what I do is I just do the entire plate that's in front of me if I'm doing it before a meal. And so mm-hmm. I just tune into everything that's in front of me and mm-hmm. I am, and then I do tapping and I'm unconcerned about which of the things it was and which of the things it wasn't. Uh-huh. So, but I'm not like, again, I'm not doing something in a super diagnostic way. I'm just trying to make dinner a little bit better. And uh-huh. so maybe like it might be worthwhile for me to test everything that is there, but it's like, is there anything on this plate? Things that are on my plate, things are on my plate. I want to be healthy. Things are on my plate. I want to be sick. And if there's not, I'm like, tune into what's going on. I'm tapping and I retest the things. Now, if after doing that three or four times, I'm still not getting clear, then I'll go, okay, great. Let's kind of take these pieces, parts one at a time and kind of try and diagnose what's going on in that particular way. But initially, like if it's things that I normally eat and I don't normally like have a super bad reaction to, typically two rounds of tapping take care of it. The other thing you can do if you don't want to sit there and muscle test everything, just look at your plate and do three or four rounds of tapping and clear what's in front of you. And just like, don't like, you know, I'm going to do the thing because it's going to make it better. So I might as well do the thing. You know, I stretch my hamstrings every single morning and I don't test how stretchy my hamstrings are at the beginning of the day. I just know that stretching my hamstrings is useful. So there's no reason to do any sort of, do I need to stretch them today? Because I'm going to. Okay. So if I'm going to tap on my plate, I'm going to tap on my plate.
All right. Well, thank you. Because I use it for everything else, but I had never really thought about using it for
food. Absolutely.
I have so much stuff that bothers me. Like you said, the ice cream. There's no way I can eat ice cream.
The first time I heard about someone doing it a lot with food was a pranic healer that I got a chance to do a little studying with. Prana is like, it's the Indian version of Reiki. Like they're similar. I won't say version, but they're in that area. But again, but they were doing testing on at the grocery store. So like before they got out of there, they were like testing different brands of flour and what brand of flour worked for them and different, like if there were multiple things to choose from. And again, this comes down to like, what is your level of comfort in a public place and how you're executing things?
I don't need out.
You know, and again, like, you know, that one, like I always say this, one of the best things about being in New York, if I'm tapping or talking to myself, I'm the eighth weirdest thing in the space that I'm in and no one notices me. So like, I can just get away with it always. So yeah. So again, another way to play, you know, again, and I approach all of this with a sense of curiosity, not with a sense of gravity, not with a sense of seriousness, but like, I wonder if I can find some useful information inside of this. And if I do, I listen to it and I see how my system responds to that. And if I don't, I try something else and I move on.
Thank you.
Yep. Awesome. Other questions, other thoughts, other thingy thing. Looks like the other Lisa is trying to unmute herself. Hello. Hello, Lisa. Hi. Too.
Hi, Jean. This is really cool. I'm the one from New Mexico.
Excellent.
So I would definitely be noticed if I tapped in public.
Yes, certainly in some parts of the state, for sure.
Too many people here. But my question was, and you may have covered this and I either didn't recall it or...
It's okay.
I don't have very good Wi-Fi, so I don't tend to download larger files because it kind of doesn't work.
Okay, just so you know that as you're navigating that, that's one of the reasons why I put an audio version up as well.
Yeah.
And I processed the audio file down to mono, so it still might be big, but it's basically 2 megabytes per minute. So like because I understand you don't need to hear this in stereo, I actually process the files down to make them small. So they might still be too big, and I understand that's the case, but know that I'm doing that if that is useful for you.
That is useful, and that actually might work, depending on the time of day.
Absolutely. And where the sun is and if the wind is blowing.
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever. But I was wondering if you could just give a little example of maybe the kinds of things you say or particular places you might tend to tap on or maybe emphasize specifically for substance sensitivities.
So the only specifics that I have is an interview that I saw Roger Callahan do. Yeah. Callahan, for those of you who don't know, created thought field therapy. Gary Craig studied with Roger Callahan and then created EFT based off of the training inside of all of that sort of stuff. And the story that Callahan told was he was in a grocery store and someone was at one of those salad bars. And apparently got a nut, like they were snacking off the salad bar and got a nut and went into anaphylactic shock. And his response was basically just kind of leaned up against them with his foot without being noticed. And he went side of the hand under the nose, side of the hand under the nose, side of the hand under the nose. So like for me, when I have anything like allergies that are coming or I notice something when I'm eating, instinctually, that's basically what I do is I tune into the symptoms and what is going on. And it's usually that fast, like four or five taps. I'm just bouncing back and forth. And then as I do that, I then start paying attention to my body. And as I'm doing that, I'm asking my system, do I need to be adding other points to this while I'm doing it? And then I might feel like sensations and some of the other points, the way that the sensations talk to me in that particular way. And then it's like, okay, yeah. And then I'll just go back to here and there. It's like, oh, okay, side of the eye. And so yes. So that is the only formal training that I have ever seen around substance sensitivities and specific tapping points. In my own experience, I have not found anything more or less consistent than that, but I haven't also been searching for a pattern in this particular way.
Okay.
But yeah, that's my knee jerk. And that is not something that came up in either of the classes.
Okay, well, that is helpful because I'm not a practitioner. I only tap on myself, but
Great. It
feels like this feels like mysterious, but I'm kind of beginning to get it. So I know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is a very, very fine line between righteous and stupid. And as we navigate all of this, like, yeah, it's weird. And again, that's the reason why I approach this with such a sense of curiosity and wonder. Is it helps me to eliminate the gravity of it, and it helps me to eliminate of having to be right. You know, I'm just giving my internal guidance system what I'm dim. I'm slow. I need to get as many signals as possible as I'm doing this.
Well, so, getting your head out of the way is always a real
absolutely 100%. Yeah. And again, and so by asking these questions, what I'm doing is I'm giving my body the opportunity to mediate from my subconscious mind. So my intellectual mind's getting out of the way. It's the exact same thing when I get butterflies in my stomach, I ask the butterflies what they're afraid of. Then this isn't trying to figure it out. This is giving me information through the metaphor. So, yeah. Awesome.
Thank you.
Cool. Other thoughts, any other questions, other reflections on the surrogate stuff that we played around with or that you're continuing to play around with? Yeah, Megan again.
I forgot to mention that I've been practicing the which point to tap on. Mm-hmm. And I quite often just do the body points because it's easier. I haven't found a lot of benefit with the finger tapping, but it's been saying a lot of finger points rather than, you know, like just stay on the little ring finger. And the longer I've stayed on it, the more benefit I've had from doing it when the muscle testing has said do that one instead of doing, you know, the random ones. Yeah, it was very interesting.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. Very cool. Hello, Lisa number 3. We're just doing questions about the experience and sharing what we've done. So if you have questions or whatever, feel free to unmute yourself and fire away, or anybody else is welcome to do that as well.
Okay. Sorry for tuning in late. For some reason, my mind, it was 8 o'clock.
And it's all good. Because we used to be at 8 o'clock.
I usually come on Sunday. So.
Oh, there you go. Awesome.
Yeah.
So what was your experience? Did you learn anything? Got any questions? What can we do to be helpful?
I practiced a couple times trying to train, if you will, muscle thing. And I felt like I wasn't getting a lot of success. Like I asked yes, no questions about like, my name is Lisa. Yes, my name is Rick. And I'd still end up with and I was like, so I don't know if I was just expecting too much so quickly.
And it might not be something that is inside of the realm of useful things for you. You might not be delusional like I am. Like, who knows? You know, you have fewer voices in your head. I mentioned this before you came on. This is the reason why I approach it just with such a sense of curiosity and not like, boy, I got to do this right. It's more of, I'm just going to give this a go and see what happens as I navigate this thing and as I play around with it and do it in that particular way. And so, there's no driver's license for this particular one. No one's going to give you a test. And just to give yourself permission to be easy with yourself is, it may or may not be working. The other thing that you might try is, you might try the other arm to see what happens with the other arm. And just to play around and see if that is something that is different. Experiment, and try other movements that might work for you that feel like they are things that are going to have a catch to them as well. One of the reasons why I like twisting of the arm is it's a gross movement. It's a big movement. It's not something that's super, super fine. And so it might just take a little while to calibrate and get used to doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing I would do is
I only tried it a couple times. It wasn't like I practiced every day.
Right. And the other thing that I would do before beginning is I would take 2 or 3 minutes and just tap on, this is a giant experiment and I'm just going to play, and it's okay if it works and it's okay if it doesn't, because I've never done this before. And this is just an experiment that will be fun, because it's possible that, again, like testing on ourselves is for me, it's harder for me to muscle test on myself than it is for someone else, because I have more baggage about me than I do about someone else, And so maybe it would be useful for you to just kind of take because there's expectancy. Anytime we learn something new, there's expectancy. It's like, ooh, there's this cool tool that works for people that I know. I would love to have this really cool tool. Ooh, does it work? Does it work? Does it work? And there's an emotional charge that's associated with that as we step into this particular work. Yeah. And so give yourself permission to tap a little bit on, this is a game and I'm just playing to see how it goes. And it doesn't matter if it works out today. And if a little voice in your head goes, yes, it does. Awesome. That means you just need to do a little more tapping before you're comfortable that you can just play with it. And I think that might be the thing that makes it a little easier for you.
Yeah. And I do recognize that I have a tendency to want to be the best student in the class.
Yeah.
That's the role I've always played. I didn't get 100%. So that means it's not good enough. Right. And so just recognizing that's a pattern that I have. And it's just a play. It's just an experiment. And
so yeah.
It's big, right. I have to do the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So awesome. Good stuff. Sweet. Any other questions regarding muscle testing? What we do need to do is like a pack or a herd. We need to figure out what a collection of Lisas are, because we have whatever that the collective noun is for you all. We need to figure out what that is.
I'll go for goddesses. I don't know.
That worked.
A goddess of Lisas.
A group of Lisas is a goddess. Absolutely. That answer wins. Awesome. Other questions about that or anything else tapping related? Feel free to, fire away. Anything can be helpful with this evening.
I don't know how I don't come big on the screen, but anyway, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I wanted to compliment you the way you tap, because I'm used to Gary Craig's, I had done for years, and strictly that. Mm-hmm. And with your finger and nothing else, and you didn't do it any other way. But I found this so refreshing and so freeing to just tap wherever, you know, it's just, I don't know. I think I've made more progress in the past couple of months I've been doing tapping here with you than I did for years, because I would give it up because it would get so frustrating because I didn't feel like I was doing it right, you know, and I always had that not good enough thing going on for, you know, so I was working on that. And I think it's really helped me today, especially because last night I found out my sister died. And I wasn't told about it until last night. She died in July. So I had to go and find a lawyer and do a lot of things that normally I would be like, you know, and I think I handled it very well because I tapped this morning originally before I found, you know, I tapped before I went to bed last night. But I think the continued tapping of all over has helped me to better process emotional stuff. I thank you for that.
Absolutely. And I think the thing that I want that is more important than tapping like me is I want you to have the freedom to try the things that work for you. That's the big lesson inside of it. And as you do that, you might find your way to tapping points that aren't the tapping points that we normally go to, and give yourself permission to tap on those as well. I'm consistently tapping on my hairline because that's the place I'm supposed to tap next. If you look at an acupuncture map, there are 250 points on there, and every single one of those is a viable tapping point inside of this.
I like the one that you did up this one.
Yeah, the rake, because we hit a whole bunch of them, you know. And sometimes I just feel like I just want to just do this, and then I just get them all that way, and I don't have to worry about missing anything.
I'll just be more exploring then.
Yeah, absolutely. Just play. Awesome.
I really just wanted to thank you because I think it's helped me tremendously.
I'm glad to hear that. That means the world.
Go through your list of podcasts and see if there's anything there for death.
There are actually two really awesome podcasts on grief. Uh-huh. And so if you go in there and you just search for grief, you're going to find two dynamite interviews with two really awesome people who specialize in that. And both of those were ones where I just sat and asked questions of people that do it full time. So you'll find two of them there in the archives.
I'm sure a lot of it hasn't set in yet. It's like I'm still in shock, I think.
you're still in solve the problem mode and get through what's going on. And As my friend Chris Ferraro says, who specializes in grief, grief will not abide. Grief is the one emotion that we do not leave. It is the emotion we pass through. And so as you are responding to the grief, know that the goal is a proportionate, well-informed emotional response, and deep grief at the loss of a loved one is a proportionate, well-informed emotional response. Mm-hmm. And just as painful as it is, the other thing that I always like to remind myself when I'm dealing with grief is grief is directly inversely proportionate to the depth of the love that I felt in that particular space.
I'm feeling a little angry today.
Which is also proportionate, well-informed inside of what you're doing.
My friend told me the whole stages of it. It's like, I'm already at anger now. I'm annoyed because I'm still picking up our pieces from when we were kids. It seemed like the same thing.
Yeah.
I'll have to tap on that later. Yep. Okay, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Other tapping-related questions about anything at all, feel free to fire away. Yeah, Haley.
I'm actually just wondering if you do have a good resource you can recommend, like an image with all the meridian points sort of on them. I can't seem to find one a good one. So I sort of want, because I want just an image of other meridian, you know, the meridian points over the whole body. Yeah. And they sort of, I found some that sort of seem to have good spots, but then they're not labeled, or Yeah.
So the thing that I would be looking for is I would be looking, there used to be this really awesome website that is now, it died a long time ago, but not only did it give you all of the points on the body and it did them a meridian at a time, it also through the lens of Chinese medicine told you what each and every point was associated with in all 250. And unfortunately it is lost to the internet graveyard. The place that I would be looking is I would be looking for texts that are used to train acupuncturists. So instead of doing a Google image search, what I would do is I would find the different like Life University and the different acupuncture colleges that exist. Life University is one here in Austin, and go into their online bookstore and see what are the resources that they're providing for their students, because they're going to have something that is much clearer and much more obvious than some random Google search or something artistic that someone is doing on their website. So actually go to some sort of academic source that is leaning in the direction of acupuncture. And I think you might find that to be useful in the way of doing it. Okay. And if you haven't listened, what are you showing us, Megan? What's hiding in, what's that sheet from? Go ahead and unmute yourself.
It's something that I had a very long time ago that I got off the internet. It's our tapping points that we know for EFT with the meridians, the psychological qualities, and quantities of imbalance.
Do you know who created that particular resource?
I don't. I think I copied and pasted it, and I didn't.
Would you be willing to just take some digital images and shoot it to me, and then I can stick it on the download page for everybody else to take a look
at? Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and no rush on that. But yeah, whenever you get a chance to do that, I'll definitely add it to the download page, and I'll mention that to everybody when I share it. Thank you. The other thing, Haley, I'm sure you've seen them, but just in case, I have two interviews with Beth Kearns in the podcast archive, who is an acupuncturist, a friend of mine who's an acupuncturist. And so the first one was, talk to me about tapping from an acupuncturist point of view. Like, what is, when I explain this stuff in my language, how do you explain it? The other one is she goes through each of the meridians specifically and talks about their earth element and what they're associated with and all of that sort of stuff. And Beth doesn't, like, they're really excellent conversation. Beth does such a good job of just explaining this stuff in common parlance. So you might enjoy both of those. And so acupuncture is in the title of both of them, and it's Beth Kearns with a K.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. Cool. What else is noodling around in your head? How else can I be helpful this evening? Yeah, Lisa, one.
Hi, Jean, and all the other Lisas too. So each morning I've been facilitating what I call a kindness circle just to start our day. And part of that is incorporating some tapping, just two rounds for the people that attend, who are all at different points, and just like a kind of like a, yeah, a raft for us to go into the seas, you know, of the day.
That's awesome. I love it.
I was wondering, whether you have any suggestions or variations on the tapping that we're doing. Basically, it's just two rounds, the first round silent, the second round I incorporate some affirmations. Just really simple. But if there's anything further you suggest, once we get more deep into it, people have been doing it for a while now and more used to it.
Yeah. I mean, the things I tap on at the beginning of my day, wordless tapping, tapping on affirmations, like you've mentioned, I find it really useful to tap on my why I do what I do. Like, and for me, I have a really clear why for my work. I have a really clear why for my relationships. I have a really clear why in my spiritual life, in my physical body, in the way that I have specific whys, like, and I, by tuning into those particular things, my why is greater fuel than my willpower, because I am much more likely to do things that I detest when I have a clear understanding as to why I am doing this thing. Like, what is the benefit? And when my why statements are about like my purpose, my connection, my, those sorts of things. And so anytime you can get into that particular thing, I find that useful. I find giving myself permission to ask for support and protection during the day a really valuable thing. And to say that out loud, I am a very self-reliant self-starter, and deliberately and consciously saying out loud, it's important and it's necessary that I ask for support and protection today. And the word protection is a new word that I've incorporated into that in the last 4 or 5 months. What is Alex's last name? He wrote The Billionaire Code. He speaks so explicitly about this. And for me, in my mind, support and protection are really different things. Support is helping me to do something. Protection is holding things out so I have the space to, even if it's do nothing, you know, but like tuning into something like that is something that might be a possible thing to tune into. Anything that is related to gratitude, tapping or not, is a great way to start the day. I also like naming, like I was sharing with Haley, what I do at the end of the day with kids. I like saying, okay, what's the scariest thing today? You know, and saying it and giving myself permission to go, oh yeah, that's a big, hairy, gross thing. Okay. And what am I really excited about today? You know? And so like, those are all possible things that like would slid into, but go into the way I approach the beginning of my day and all the different things I tap on.
Thank you, Gene. I can see why you like jazz music, because your riffing was just beautiful just then.
Thank you. Awesome. Other tapping related questions, Lisa B.
I just wanted to say, I don't know if the information is available, but the 5 a.m. club that Gene did this summer, August or July, August, whatever that was.
Yeah, it's
really awesome way and processes to use to start the day and use that with tapping and stuff like that. So I don't know if you
guys. So at least what that. it's if you go to 5amactionclub.com, the number 5amactionclub.com, basically what I did for 20 days at 5:30 in the morning, I got up and did my morning routine. And I have a book, there's a workbook that goes along with that, that has 9 different things that I tap on in the morning. And then you'll also have access to 20 30-minute videos of me tapping and teaching in the morning with lovely people, like a bunch of people who are here, got on the line, and we just tapped on the things that we wanted to do to start our day. And so there's a lot of great instruction inside of that if you want to check that out. And I don't know, if you were part of the 5 a.m. Tapping Action Club, you saw the email this morning. If you weren't, you will see an email from me tomorrow. Next week, every single morning, we're going to do some tapping on upper limits and limiting beliefs about what is possible for us. So it's going to basically the context is I am in a coaching program in which there are people in my program who are doing, more sales a day digitally than I do annually. And there's a part of me that just kind of goes, oh, and it's like, ooh, look at that. Like I can see myself at $450,000, but a number over that gets scary really, really quickly. And so, yeah, it's an opportunity for us to work through this together. So if you didn't get the email, you'll get one tomorrow morning. Awesome. The questions, tapping related, muscle tapping related. Renee, feel free to jump in and ask a question. Don't worry about that. Atricia, go ahead.
When we were in a group, there was something about the tapping around the ear.
Yeah.
It's called temporal tapping. And it's in Donna Eden's book. You can also find some people online. And it was taught, I think, by Culligan, and then some of Gary Craig's people did it. But what they did it for was using it to change habits. There's a way that you do it. One way you say that you have the habit and whatever. It's the wording and stuff that's involved. Then you do it the other way. And you're supposed to do it consistently for a while, and it changes your habits.
That's awesome. Yeah, like I use it occasionally just because someone introduced it to me somewhere along the way and I can't remember why. And sometimes when I'm sitting here, my right hand is just doing that because that's what it feels like I should be doing. And for me, what I do, I actually just do all 5 fingers at once. So I'm not even going around in a circle, but it's just like I get it just all in one shot. And for whatever reason, that feels good in my body sometimes and I listen to it.
Well, this was saying that on one side is the bad habit that you do, and the other side is the habit, you know, what you want to change it to.
Awesome. I'm sure that is an internet rabbit hole that I will fall down at some point tomorrow afternoon between clients.
Thank you.
Awesome. What else can I do for y'all tonight?
Jean, once we're finished with all the questions, would you be able to do a practice session on a sensitivity, please, so that we can see what that looks like with you?
Like if I was doing a practice on it, like if I was tapping on a sensitivity?
Or do it with someone, yeah.
Yeah. So here, let me, I actually know the thing that will set me off. So give me 1 second. I will go grab something and I'll show you exactly how I do it.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you my nemesis, my arch enemy, the thing that will bring me down before this life is over. This is a white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cup mini. The minis are the ones that are the best because it is all about the chocolate to peanut butter ratio. Every single time you change the size and shape of a peanut butter cup, you're changing the chocolate to peanut butter ratio. The minis are the ones that are preferable. Not that I have an opinion on the matter. So, So this is the way that I would be doing something like this. So I would take it, I would hold it. I would also give it a smell, because one thing that's interesting when we tap on something that we might have a substance sensitivity about, our relationship to the smell of it changes. Because when I'm craving it, it's awesome. And when I clear the substance sensitivity, it gives me the skeevies. And so let's see if this is the case, because this is actually my last one, which will tell you what my last 4 days looked like as I have been doing the things that I've been doing. We are what? Yeah, we're 11 and a half hours in today's workday. So here we go. And so right now, as I take it and I smell it, it smells sweet and it smells lovely. And so I have it here. And so as I'm thinking about it, I want to be healthy. So white chocolate, I want to be healthy, I want to be sick. So that is not surprising, because more than likely there is something in here that is causing my body to reverse so I don't have to deal with something else. And that's the reason why I'm eating it, because this is what I eat when I'm emotional. This is my emotional eating thing. So now that I have a yes, 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 I know I need to deal with something here. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to hold on to it. And just tune into it. And it's interesting, by the time I get to the third tapping point, my mouth is not salivating as much as it was just a moment ago. And again, like we talked about earlier, when in doubt, I'll just go back and forth between here and here. And so like half of the smell has gone away. Like I can still smell it, but it is nowhere near as strong and sharp. Chocolate, I want to be healthy. Okay. So now I got chocolate, I got a no on that. And there's, yeah, Reese's peanut butter cups. And again, it's down to about a quarter of the smell that I had before. And so now it feels clear. And now I have absolutely no interest in eating it. And that's not performative. Like literally, like it's just like, yeah, that's fine. And hour and a half ago, that was not the case when I was watching old TV decompressing from a client day. So that's what it looks like when I'm doing it. Megan, would you be willing to let me do a little muscle testing with you to see if we can find anything?
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so the two places that I like to start right away is I like to start with corn and wheat, just because we've changed corn and wheat in so many different ways to make more sustainable crops over time. And so it's a different substance than what we were eating just 500 years ago. So as I would be doing this, I would be tuning into you and I'd be tuning into corn. Corn, I want to be healthy. And so it feels like there's something there. And so just tap with me, tap on the side of the hand and tap on the chin. Hi, bro. Under the eye. Side of the eye. Tippy top of the head. Collarbone. Under the arm. Side of the hand. Nice big deep breath. And I expect the answer to be nothing. But did you notice anything as we were tapping?
I noticed a release when it was on the top of the head.
Okay. And what did release feel like in this particular case?
A lightening in my body. It feels like a
awesome. Lightening. Cool. Very good. And that could simply be a consequence of I am magical and you are near me. It could be a consequence of that you are just tapping randomly. It could be a consequence of that we cleared something. Like any of those three things are possible as we navigate this. So again, it's just like Megan and Corn. Okay. And so we're still, okay, side of the hand. Chin. Eyebrow. Under the eye. Side of the eye. Mm-hmm. Under the arm. Side of the hand. Gamut point. Chin. Under the nose. Nice big deep breath. More release because of my magical powers?
I think you were releasing for me. I was just having fun.
Good. Awesome. And this is, and just let's be like, as we're doing this, God, do I feel like a cuckoo pot doing this? Like, I mean, like this is ridiculous and that's okay. Like, this is not something I'd be teaching on a stage. This is not something I'd be doing a lot of places. Only with my friends who I trust would I be doing something like this. No. And so it feels more clear now. And again, I could just be making crap up. Like,
yeah.
Who's to say, you know, but process wise, that's what I would be doing. You know,
no, that's brilliant. Thank you. To just have that, see you do it yourself and mm-hmm. see, yep. you know, do it that way. That's very helpful. Thank you.
And then like, if I was doing something like this, like if I was doing it for like, so then I would go, okay. So Corn is one of those things that oftentimes like we clear a little bit and it doesn't clear. And so then I would go, okay, Megan tapping on Corn more than once a day. I get no. So we do it once a day, you know, more than one day, more than 2 days, more than 3 days, 3 days. So then what I would recommend, I don't prescribe because I'm not a doctor, but what I would recommend is tuning into Corn and doing a little tapping every single day for the next couple of days.
Yeah. All right.
Excellent. And again, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to sit there thinking loving thoughts for yourself for 90 seconds, three times in the next 3 days. And we win when that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's see here. What happens when you're in the middle of a craving for it? There's a Renee asked the question, what happens if you're in the middle of craving for it? So the thing that I'm trying to do in my life is I'm trying to make all of my choices consciously, even the bad choices. So it's not like, I don't know if you know those, they're like the waffle cookies where it's like a waffle cookie and then frosting and then a waffle cookie and a frosting. And you get them in a giant brick. And typically they're like Neapolitan where you get strawberry and vanilla and chocolate in them. I can buy one of those at the dollar store. So, you know, it's really high quality, good, nutritious stuff when you get an entire block for 99 cents of cookies. And if I am not careful and I'm like watching TV or something like that, all I have left is cellophane and this thin layer of waffle dust everywhere. And I have no recollection of how many cookies I ate. I just know that they're all gone. So the thing I'm trying to do, so like with my dear friend, the Reese's peanut butter cups, I also like the ones that have the little Reese's pieces in them. And I'll alternate between the regular chocolate and this and regular chocolate and this. And when I do that, I say, okay, this is a craving I have for it. And I'm going to have 6 of them because I want to eat something crappy because I'm deciding I want to eat something crappy and I'm taking full responsibility for that choice. If I'm in a circumstance where I'm feeling a craving for something, and I want to make a better choice, then what I do is I do 3 or 4 rounds of tapping on, I have this craving for this thing right now that is not good for me and my body probably wants it to mask some emotion, or it's probably not good for me and it's not healthy. And I just do a couple of rounds of tapping. And at the end of doing 3 or 4 rounds of tapping, if the craving still persists to a level that I can't resist it, then I don't resist it. Like, I give myself permission to go, okay, I'm going to do this thing. Like, I have stepped into this. I've been conscious and aware of it. I have used one of my tools. My tools is insufficient. I then give myself permission to do that particular thing. And I find when I give myself permission to eat dessert, I eat less the dessert than when I don't give myself permission to eat dessert. The other thing that I'm a really big fan of when it comes to dealing with things that I have cravings for, I am a really big fan of excess in moderation. I'm not a big fan of all things in moderation. So I would rather eat an amazing dessert on the weekend than 4 pieces of chocolate every single day across the week. So when I'm going to indulge, I give myself permission to consciously indulge. I am not going to do any work this weekend, and I give myself permission to consciously not do any work this weekend, even though I probably should be doing some things to move forward because of what's going on next week. Monday's going to be a train wreck. That's okay. I'm consciously choosing to do that. And so I tune in. The other thing that's really important to recognize when it comes to cravings in the moment is recognizing the goal is not to eliminate the craving. The goal is to get the craving to a point where I can make the choice that I want to make. You know, before I got up and I went out of the room to get this, the craving would have been a 9 and I wouldn't have eaten it because I wasn't going to get up in the middle of class and go eat this. But now that it is in front of me and I have the power to magically disappear for a couple of moments and eat very, very quickly, I could get away with eating it right now. So the craving needs to be lower for me to make a healthier choice, but that lower doesn't have to be 0. And so to kind of give myself permission to do that. The other thing that's really important about tapping for cravings is fire drills. Doing fire drills makes it possible. For those of you who've been around me for any length of time, you've heard me tell the story. When I was in 4th grade, there was a fire in my grade school. And it was a small fire in a contained area and it was no big deal. 450 little kids got out of the building without problems. We were excited to see fire trucks. And like, there was literally smoke in the hallways. It wasn't like, oh, there's a fire. Like, we knew there was a fire, but no one was pressed because we practiced it. And so if I want to tap for my craving, what I do in a state when I'm not craving is I close my eyes and I imagine myself where the places I encounter the cravings, in my living room, at work, wherever those places are, walking by the ice cream parlor in my neighborhood. And then I practice it in my head, being in that setting, feeling the craving come up. And then I see in my imagination, me tapping the craving down and then making a good, healthy choice. So that when the moment comes up, I've practiced using the tools. And so I'm much more likely to reach for them because I've practiced being in the scenario where that sort of thing would come up. So those are my thoughts on cravings and how I tap for cravings. And I think about those sorts of things. It helps if you have to cook everything you have to eat. Absolutely. Awesome. Other tapping related and muscle testing related and other related questions. Audrice?
Oh, I just thank you again because that was very, very helpful because I do get cravings. Yep. And yeah, I went through the supermarket and the Kit Kat began to talk to me. And I had picked it up and I was going to get it. And I asked the lady that I was with if she wanted it. And she said no. And then all of a sudden something kicked in and said, well, you can make a choice to say no to. And I put it back, didn't take it. So yeah, what you're doing is good. So, although I never bring it in the house because I don't trust myself.
Absolutely. It's an easier way to do that for sure. Renee, so how do I muscle test for someone remotely? It depends on the level of relationship that I have with them. So for example, I'm doing some work with a family right now around two kids and their dog. And so I had the family send me pictures of everyone. And so I have the pictures in front of me when I am doing the muscle testing for them, if they're not there. If we're on the phone, that's a good enough connection. And if there's someone I have a strong enough connection with, like I would feel comfortable and have permission to muscle test for my sister anytime in any space. And the connection with my sister is strong enough that just tuning into her is enough for me to feel like I'm getting a good enough information. So it's like anything I can do to strengthen the connection I have with the person. If it's someone I don't know, I use pictures, you know, and if it's kids and we're dealing with substance sensitivities and stuff like that, I'll also ask for the parent to send me a picture of the space indoors that they spend the most time playing, playroom, bedroom, stuff like that. Because oftentimes kids' playrooms are the rooms that get cleaned the least because they have the most stuff. And they're the ones that are least likely to complain about a little bit of a mess, which means they have a tendency to be a place where there's mold and fungus and crumbs because they're little savages and they can't help themselves. Yep, that's exactly the process. Awesome. Cool. Anything else I can do for you this evening, muscle testing or otherwise? Awesome. Well, feel free to come back and join us on Sunday, where other people will have other questions. Play around with this a little more. You might have some new question to ask to dive in as we navigate all of this stuff. I'm recording for tonight, and the recording for Sunday will show up on the exact same website on Monday. Also, whenever I get photos of the stuff Megan has, again, no rush. This is not pressure. I'm just giving everybody heads up. Whenever that happens, I'll stick that on the website as well, and I'll let y'all know so we can have access to that sort of thing. The document that you're looking at, I'm sure it's on a hard drive somewhere for me as well, because as you talk about it and you have those columns, like it rings a bell for me, and I can't exactly remember where it is in that particular space. So the fact that you still have a physical copy is a good thing for all of us. Awesome. And if you haven't seen it yet, make sure you check out your email tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., 6 a.m. for 5 days. We're going to get online. We're going to do a bunch of tapping. I probably won't be in a dress shirt, but I will be smiling and my hair will be combed as we navigate all of that. It's the least I can do for you. Perfect. Have a wonderful night or a wonderful morning. All of my friends on the other side of the world, to the goddess of Lisas, thank you for joining me this evening. Thank you. And I'll see you guys on Sunday. See you next week. See you next month. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.